Hi, besties, and welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens,
a show where we talk about all things drag because we are semi-qualified to speak on it.
I'm Juicebox.
And I'm Cynthia Kiss.
And welcome to Semi-Qualified Queens. We are back. Second episode this week.
Second episode. Are you sick of me, Juice?
Get out of my life.
Get out of my life. Do you remember when I was in Toronto for too long and you were like, Cynthia, go home?
Because you were getting everybody mad at me. Everyone around me was getting angry and it was all your fault.
It like literally all came back to Cynthia. You're like, go the fuck home.
Go home. Oh, get out of my life, please.
Well, twice in 1 week with Juicebox is a great week to have. So yes. I'm excited to be here.
We usually do a long catch up before we start recording. This time we were like, hey, what's up? Anyways, do you want to start?
I texted Juice this morning. Let's get her done.
Yeah.
We were talking about what time to record today. I was like, you know what? I'm up. Let's get her done.
Let's go. Good morning. I grocery shopped and I said, let's do it.
Which I love a good grocery shop.
Today wasn't a good one. You know when you do a grocery shop and you're like, I'm not excited for any of this.
And I also hate to be the bummer, but inflation. Oh. Can we talk about grocery shopping right now? And everything is just like 25 to 30% more expensive than I've ever seen it.
I got literally the bare minimum because like I like to. This is my trick with grocery shopping. If you are someone who wants to stick within a budget and healthy eating, only stay within the perimeter, because the perimeter is always going to be the vegetables, cheeses, and milk and everything. Yep. Just the things you need to cook. All the aisles are going to be boxes.
With sugar, it's bad for you stuff.
It's pop. Yeah, you want to stick to the perimeter, and then you can even get your little snacks on the perimeter too, right? So I always stick to the perimeter, but even then, I did that today, and I only got like a few things in the aisles because the boxes are always the most expensive. I got it was still a $150 bill, and it's only for like 3 days worth of food.
See, that's like it's rough out there right now. Even to cook at home, it's like, dang, where do you just kind of like budget a little bit? But yeah, so I feel you. I love a productive Sunday. And I love seeing you twice. For our Patreon supporters, you actually get to see me without my backdrop and my messy bedhead. Like, if you're a Patreon supporter, you really are getting a visual treat with this bonus episode, I must say.
And you get to see me in my pink Barbie sweater and my messy bedhead, too.
It's so cute. I love that sweater so much.
Isn't it cute? Thank you. Cake-worthy. Little cake-worthy sweater. I love it.
So for our audio listeners, it is a pink sweater with Barbie dolls. We've got Barbie in the center. We've got Ken on the side. It's like retro inspired. Like they've got big fluffy curls.
Yeah, they have like big, big, big curly hair. And there's and like headbands. A black Barbie, an Asian Barbie, and a redheaded Barbie. And Ken has brown hair. And then Barbie's kind of serving me like cultural appropriation though because of her afro. I'm kind of like,
I was looking at it and I'm like, is that an afro?
Yeah, I just noticed that Barbie's wearing an afro. And I don't know how I feel about me wearing this sweater anymore. Like, oh no.
But you know what?
What is this?
It's just for the Patreon listeners, and they get us.
They get us. They know this wasn't on purpose.
We love you, Patreon supporters. Mm-hmm. But listen, we're here with a bonus episode. We're covering Canada versus the world.
Yes.
Did you watch Juice?
I did. I actually did. I saw every tiny detail because the lighting and the cameras on this show are horrifying. Just terrifying. And I know that this is not just me. I'm seeing this discourse all over the internet. But my God, you can see every drop of sweat, every pore, everything. Yeah. They said Brooklyn and the judges get a filter. Everyone else, get fucked.
Nothing.
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 Literally no one gets nothing. Softness.
It's like, it's too HD. It's like
it's
8K.
It's terrifying.
And I'm good with like 1080p. I'm like, I like yeah, it.
Yeah, drag needs 1080p. I'm watching this and you can see every bit of texture on every one of these girls' skins. And I'm just like, ooh, ooh.
And on that big TV.
I watched it on the smaller TV today and I could still see it. So imagine it on the big one. Wow.
Oh, wowie.
Oh, wowie. But it's week two. Kendall has just been sent home. And also, shout out to Kendall. She recently put out her look. Well, she didn't put out her look because she just put out something because I guess she said she was wearing her look at the finale. But this girl said content. She is putting out, like, I think she's put out 4 TikToks already. She's put out a bunch of photos. Oh my God, content queen. Yes. I actually commented on it. I said, oh my God, you really said content? but I wrote content on accident, so I just deleted it because I was embarrassed.
Oh my God, girl, me with spelling. Like, that is why I don't tweet.
Right?
I was so worried. Fierce and Eve are going to be like, you illiterate bitch. Like, they just jump on any typo. They're just like, if you spell your instead of you are, like, the abbreviation. Like, they are on it. I appreciate a girl who spell checks, but it makes me really scared to tweet. It's literally true. I realized it the other day because it's really embarrassing. I'm like, I don't want to spell things wrong, but I'm an idiot.
I'm quite a good speller, but sometimes my autocorrect, you know, fucks me in the end, but...
I'm sure it's the autocorrect. Blame it on the autocorrect.
Blame it on the
correct.
So we find out that Rita actually chose Kendall as well because both of them wanted Stephanie to be able to represent and to be able to show more because Kendall made it to the end of her season. Stephanie is the only Asian queen, the only person from the Philippines representing her country. So they thought that she had a little bit more to show. I mean, that's good, but I mean, selfishly, I would have loved Kendall to stay because I love Kendall. But yes.
I know. You want them both to stay. But I did think that was kind of juicy. I was like, damn, either way, we had it with the bottom two. Both queens were like, bye, Kendall.
Yeah, she was out from the jump.
I will say, and this is scandalous because she's my sister, but on the first episode, I had a thought when like each girl was talking about why they should stay. It was almost like from an argument perspective, like Kendall was being like, you know, I made it all the way to the end of my season. And I almost was thinking like, you don't want to say that.
I would say that.
There's more to show. This is like, I've got so much more to like show. When she was like, I made it all the way to the end. They're going to be like, well, then you already kind of got the ride.
Yeah, right?
Is that a hot take of my bestie? I don't know.
No, I think it's right. I think I would have said, like, I have so much more to show because of what I did show didn't properly represent something. Like, I would have said, like, I have so much more to show of that, how much I've grown in this short time. Like, maybe something like that.
These six months, bitch.
And then we also have a new discourse that's been introduced that Victoria confronts Stephanie about with the word fishy. So for those of you that maybe did not watch or missed it, or have not been on Twitter because it has been absolutely blowing up my notifications, is that Victoria had to said to Stephanie, if you use the word fishy, it's offensive to cis women or anybody with a vagina because it equates the vagina as smelling bad, smelling like fish. So they had a really productive conversation about that. What do you think about the whole thing?
Fishygate. I was watching this episode.
Fishygate.
And I literally was like, okay, this is going to be such a cool topic to also bring to the podcast. I really appreciate Victoria just being so eloquent, bringing it up, bringing up her side of it. And then it being matched with Stephanie just being like, ugh, this is just like what we say. And
yeah, like, I was like,
oh God, it's like not even really an argument. It's just like, but at the same time, it's valid too, where she's just trying, they're both coming from different perspectives. I personally think we can do away with it. I used to use that term, and then it was brought to my attention as to how it could be offensive. And just like with language, it evolves. I stopped using it now. And it's funny, actually, when I heard Stephanie's verse, I thought it was interesting she used the term fishy.
Yeah, me too. But have you seen too the, there's another discourse on Twitter is saying that trans women were the ones who originated it and it never meant the stinky pussy thing. And that now it's like, people are saying like that it's cis women taking language from trans women where they don't belong and all this stuff. And it's just like, I think we're really just digging a hole here, besties. Like, this just does not... Yeah. I feel like we're really pulling at strings. There's a lot of reaching. I feel like if people who have vaginas say, like, hey, this term actually doesn't feel great when it's said about looking feminine, makes me feel like this, I think everyone around should kind of be like, oh, you know what? Yeah, that does kind of suck.
Yeah, I hear you.
Instead of jumping at them, because it feels like mostly cis gay men, like white cis gay men, are just like, yeah, but it means this and I want to say it. And it's just like, bestie, one, not for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, calm down. And a lot of people are just like kind of going at it. It's just like, see it all over Twitter. And it's just like, my God, just shut up.
Or here's the thing. Say it. But now know when you're saying that, you're offending a whole community. And if you're okay with offending a whole community, pop off. But it's like... when I hear someone like stand up for themselves, I listen to that. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, now that it's in the Discord, you know, if you're using this term, you're offending people. So you mm-hmm. really are sending a message. So I think now it would be interesting if Stephanie would include it in the verse. I have a feeling she wouldn't. She is empathetic like that. No. I think it was just a miss. Sometimes language evolves at different rates in different communities. Perhaps mm-hmm. it just didn't get to Stephanie yet. It takes someone courageous like Victoria to speak up on it. And so I thought it was a really interesting part of the show.
And it feels like Stephanie really took it well. It doesn't feel like she was very confrontational. She just explained herself. Yeah. Victoria explained herself. And she kind of felt like at the end of it was just like, yeah, okay, if that's offensive, I'm really sorry. And I won't do it.
Yeah, I felt like Vanity had to step in and kind of summarize being like, so going forward.
Yeah, we're not gonna do this.
Because Stephanie kind of was just like,
Yeah, it feels like Stephanie, and we did get to see some more like serious sides of Stephanie in this episode, but it feels like sometimes Stephanie is just like always a little like not really taking things seriously.
She's always kind of trolling a situation, and it's what I love about her, and it's also where I'm just like, okay, is that, it's like, what's going on there? Like, are we deflecting?
I was going to say, it gives me very much deflecting defense mechanism. That's what I get from it. It's yeah. very much like, oh, this has happened. I'm going to make a joke out of it just to lighten the mood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll continue to see things fire up on Twitter.
Oh, God, it's exhausting.
Are you jumping in there? You're like getting in on.
No, I'm not okay. touching it. Okay. I'm not touching it. It's one of those things where it's just like, remember I said I'm trying to slowly break up with social media and all those things. So with the Twitter. Yeah. So with the Twitter discourse, I'm picking and choosing my battles. Yeah. So it's just like, if it's going to be any kind of Twitter thing, firstly, I feel like if it's for me to be able to say, then I'll jump in. Or it'll be like, I feel like I have something to add to the discourse. This, I don't feel like me being cis, white, don't have a vagina. I don't really think I have much to say on it. The most I have to say is like, I've said it before in the past and I know I shouldn't say it. Like, so I'm fine. Yeah. You know?
I get that. I so get that.
Yeah. So shall we move on to the next day?
Hell yeah, we should.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the next day in the workroom. And you've written down Anita Lonely.
Anita said she was lonely. She's the only one that represents her country. So she said she was feeling a bit lonely.
Oh, that's right. She is the only Aussie.
Aussie. So I was gonna kind of mention like, what if, like, how do you think you would feel if you were the only person in Canada? Like, if you were ever on, like, say, like Thailand versus the world, and it was just you who got asked from Canada, like, do you think that'd be lonely? Do you think you'd be able to do it? Do you think it would be easier for you because you'd be able to concentrate more? You know,
there is one perspective where I'm like, oh, maybe I would just be like super focused, and then I'd become this like villain,
monster.
Yeah, and then would you triangulate like, other countries.
Yeah.
Like hop over and just be like, so what are we thinking over here? And then just go somewhere else and be like, so in America, they're saying this.
Everyone's like, Canada isn't nice.
And then Juice screams, Cynthia, go home.
Send Cynthia home. She's such a bitch.
No. But it would be lonely. It would be kind of mm-hmm. hard to see a bunch of cliques forming. And you just, by virtue of being by yourself, can't do mm-hmm. that. So mm-hmm. I feel for her. Mm-hmm. And then we have Brooklyn hop into the workroom and we do a little reading challenge.
Oh my God.
This reading challenge, like each girl got up and was just like, okay, so like, you fucking suck and you are not gonna drink.
Roses are red, violets are blue. You stink and look like poo. Those were the reads.
I hope you die. A sad slow death.
Yeah.
They just were not funny.
Oh my God.
It was so strange to me. And like, I'm so sorry. I can't.
Do we have to play this music out?
No, okay.
Even Isis, who I thought would really kill it, even hers were like, oh, wow.
I had a thought. I'm so sorry. My Facebook Messenger was this little bubble in the corner on top of the pause button. On Riverside, so I couldn't stop it. I just deleted or closed Messenger. So I won't have that run again.
That's so funny. I was going to say, this music's really gone.
No, I'm so sorry. I was desperately trying to stop it. Okay, so the reading challenge. No one really killed it, and I feel like they don't know each other well enough to do it yet. They're just not close enough. Because the thing about the reading when you kind of, you go to, for the Achilles heel, it's because you know the girl close enough that you're like, for starters, have found it out. And you there's a camaraderie there with the reading. I feel like these girls were too guarded and each person just got really offended by each other.
It felt like they were all kind of like on edge.
It was really edgy. I was just like, oh, it was like they were all just like a little uncaffeinated or like tired or something.
Awkward. And it was just strange to watch.
You fucking suck.
You're so fucking ugly and fat and stupid. And like, even Raja being like, I'm just waiting for the joke. I was just like, this is so awkward. I no hate watching this.
No one was good.
And no one.
I don't know. It was. I love just Brooklyn instantly being like, this is not working.
She was like, you guys know that this is a reading challenge, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know. I just feel like they don't know each other well enough. They should have waited.
See, I think it's because they're all still too green from the show.
Oh, like they're not savvy enough to like come up with quick reads and things?
Well, because remember what I said, like a lot of them are fresh off their seasons. Except for Silky and Raja. And even Silky and Raja weren't good. Not good.
I know, but they're funny in different ways. Like we do see later in the episode, like, yeah, it's interesting. Maybe we're like, it's too polite up here in Canada. No one wants to read. Or they do in this really aggressive way. I don't know. What's going on?
It was bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was just bad.
But we love the girls for trying.
Yeah. I don't think they should have crowned any winner.
I know. Anita won by, like, default. It was like, you weren't the worst.
She said she was the best out of the worst.
I know. Mm-hmm. Even when she finished, she was like, come on. That was, like, compared to everyone else. So funny.
She was just like, yeah, that wasn't bad compared to everybody else. At least I had at least I didn't stutter when I delivered, you know?
It was
a rough go. But we do that awful reading challenge that I would love to forget about. And we find out that we're going to be doing the Snatch game, but it's called the Snatch Summit.
Yes.
Now, I was a little confused about this. So this is like the, what's it called? Like, it's a word, world leaders all come. What did they, that big summit, what is it called?
You're asking the wrong girl.
Yeah.
But I know a summit of sorts would be, like, kind of like the model UN of life where people, come together. Like, political leaders come together, like, a summit on that level. Like, my understanding of, like, a summit.
Yeah, I was like, why are they doing...
people come there? I sound so dumb on the podcast right now.
I know. I'm going to sound really stupid. I remember there was one that happened in Huntsville because my dad had to go to it. And he had to, like, stay there for, like, a month.
The thing is, summits are, like, gatherings. There are particular summits that are political. Like, if we're just defining the word summit, like, do you know what I mean? Like, a summit would be, like, to have, like, a conference. So that's where...
Oh, why didn't they just do a regular Snatch game? This is so strange.
Because Justin Trudeau was going to be there. So they had to somehow spin the episode. I had the realization where I was like, oh, okay. Justin was there, so they turned it into a political Snatch game. Like, someone just was piecing together a continuity of the episode. We'll dive into the maxi, but it didn't feel political to me. It felt like they just called it the Snatch Game Summit.
Yeah, oh, same. Oh, yeah.
And no one, including the hosts, like Brooklyn, turned it into, like, a political thing. Like, it was different than the season with Look Over There and Jada, like, where she was truly a politician.
Yeah.
And it felt like a political parody. This kind of felt, it was interesting. I agree. When I saw the theming of Snatch Game, I was confused.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Feeling down in the dumps? Feel like you need someone who isn't a friend or family member to talk about it? BetterHelp is the perfect neutral party.
BetterHelp offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you.
Talk to your therapist in a private online environment at your convenience.
There's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's 20,000 plus therapist network that gives you access to help that may not be available in your area.
You just fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Boom.
Then you schedule secure video and phone sessions. Plus, you can exchange unlimited messages, and everything you share is completely confidential.
You can request a new therapist at no additional charge anytime.
Join the 2 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist.
We have a special offer to the semi-qualified Queens listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/SQQ.
That's betterhelp.com/SQQ. The special URL will be in the show notes. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
Well, everybody comes into the Snatch Game, and we've got Vanity as Spice, who is a rapper. Stephanie as Cardi B, which I thought was an interesting choice for her. We have Rita as Gilda, who is a French drag queen. We have Anita as Adele, or, you know, whatever that was. We have Silky as Lizzo. We have Isis as Donatella Versace, Victoria as Kim Woodburn, and Raja as Big Frida. Now, were there any standouts for you about this Snatch Game? Anything that you thought was good or weird?
I love that. I just felt like I went on like a weird tangent, so I loved hearing you talk. We're diving right in. We're diving right into this maxi.
Well, I mean, there wasn't really much before it except them saying what they were going to do, right? 100%. So I feel like we should just dive right into the maxi.
Yeah. For starters, that Adele.
Oh, bad.
It was just strange.
I was just like, it's funny listening to an Australian person try and do a British accent.
It's just like, oh, what we sound like doing a British accent.
Yeah.
It gives me context of how it can be just like a little off, but there was no humor.
Ooh, I felt like she was holding on to the divorce babes divorce joke, mm-hmm. and that's it.
Yeah, and then you know? Okay, so I just again going back to calling it like the Snatch Game Summit, it didn't feel like I just felt I'm torn because it was like were the character choices then to be political like.
Were the questions political? It was strange. The whole overall thing was strange. But speaking of strange, no hate to Miss Stephanie. Love Miss Stephanie.
I was gonna say, are you gonna go in on her casting?
I'm not gonna go in, but I am gonna be like, I just think it's funny that you're an Asian person. You're light skinned, mm-hmm. and you're doing a black person.
Yeah.
And, like, thank God she didn't make her skin darker, because that would have just been insane. But I just don't... I don't know. I think people doing black people, especially when they do a black people who's such a large character, mm-hmm. and uses those characteristics, it's just like, this doesn't really feel right to me. Like, for me, I was watching it, and I was just like, I don't know how I feel about this choice. But she's not getting roasted on Twitter, so I guess everyone was fine with it, and maybe it's just me. But I was just like, that's a choice to do that.
My thing was, it just wasn't really funny.
Oh, that too. I mean, it wasn't funny at all.
I don't even feel like I have much to say, just because it's like, choice or not alone. Like, I'm always with like some of these things. It's like, I like a little bit of risk, but then there was no payoff. It was like, we didn't get this big Cardi B personality. We didn't get any sort of rapport. She just kind of mm-hmm. was like so middle of the road. Like, again, she was just like, really the whole time. And I wanted so much more. And like, there is a world where I'm like, because she's POC, she can also play like a different like person of color. I think there maybe is that. Like, I feel like if a white person was like, I'm going to be Cardi B. Like, if I did Cardi B, I would almost anticipate. Like a
roasted, crucified.
Yeah. It would be horrible. Not appropriate.
But I think she's still, I don't know. I don't think it was a great idea. I think it wasn't the best idea, but again, that's not for me to make that judgment. It's not for me to say anything. But for me, I was kind of just like, oh, I don't know if that's the best character to go for.
Yeah. But, and choice aside, the performance of that then chosen character was just like, wasn't big enough for me.
Yeah. What about Rita and Gilda?
I literally don't even remember. Like, I literally don't even remember. And I think some of that was the editing. I don't think she actually got a lot of airtime.
Well, Spice and Rita, I feel like, answered one question each.
Like, they got dust.
Yeah. They said, Vanity and Rita, we're just going to give you a little twinkle, a little, does this sparkle? Here you go. And done.
To prove
it was very Kendall season two. Like, one question was answered.
It was giving Kris Jenner.
Yeah. They said, you're going to get one question, and then we're just going to move on completely. But yeah, it was, I thought she just, like, acted like Rita a bit. You know?
Yeah. And then kind of like the Edith Piat character too, right? Like a zany.
Yeah, but her Edith was quite good.
her Edith was incredible. And then it's just like, is it almost just a spillover of that choice?
The felt of it, yeah.
You know, as a as choices of the character. I know it's a brilliant character. It's just like, have we technically seen it? And yeah. But it, again, I barely saw her perform, so I almost feel weird judging each queen's performance, because I'm like, what if you did way better? And they just, I don't know. It felt very unbalanced. Now, yeah. I did think Isis did a great job as Donatella. Oh, she had so a lot of fun, which is so great to see. I could tell she just was like almost throwing the political satire to the wind.
Yeah.
And she just decided to start insulting everybody, which was very funny through the character work of Donatella. I loved it.
Yeah. And I really like when you can see Isis having fun, because I feel like Isis can sometimes be a little shy and a little closed off and a little like cold. But when you see her really enjoying herself and really having fun and like laughing, she's great.
I know.
You know? So I was really excited to see her just like really enjoy herself on this. And I thought she was super fun. Like very much a well-deserved, you know, good job on this. Mm-hmm. Now, I feel like we saw so much of Silky.
Yeah.
Like I felt like they gave Silky so much camera time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know for what reason. Because like even the way that Rita said it, she was just like, we're never really finding the joke, you know? It's a lot of noise, but never really finding the payoff.
Yeah.
But she looked great.
Oh, totally. She nailed it visually. It just came down to, like, there was never any, like, hook, line, sinkers. Like, nothing ever was short and funny.
Where are the jokes?
Where are the jokes?
And speaking of jokes, Kim Woodburn, what did you think? Victoria's gone.
Yeah, do you know this character? I've odd time watched this cleaning show. I feel like it was on some Canadian broadcasting, like the W Network.
Ooh, W Network.
Wow. Fancy. So I recognize the character, but she's kind of just like a severe, like organized woman. It was almost like the Marie Kondo thing LaPhil did. It was like, is it a funny character? I don't know. Again, I don't know.
It felt like I was just watching Victoria.
A little bit.
Yeah, it was just like, okay, you're just talking like yourself. And because she's Victoria is very much a character in herself already. And she speaks very much already sort of like the way she spoke as Kim. Mm-hmm. So it just felt like an extension of her being a little more goofy. And I was just, I don't think she went big enough. Mm-hmm. But big, again, speaking of big, Raja as Big Frida. What'd you think?
It was like, it was good. I don't know. I feel like I watched this episode a couple nights ago, and so now I'm like, what happened?
It was kind of like, it's not that it was bad, because she had jokes, she was very present, she was fun. My only problem is Big Frida has such a distinct, raspy, deep voice.
Mm-hmm.
That, and Raja has the softest little angelic voice. Like,
such a cute voice.
Oh, cute, but it's like right in her head. It's like kind of nasally. It's like very high.
Yeah.
So it's just like, that's such a weird choice for me to pick, because like, how are you going to get your voice that low to really get that raspiness? Because that's what's so funny sometimes about the things Big Frida does, is she has that voice.
I don't know Big Frida that well. When the episode started, I quickly did a Google search and I never played any videos. I just quickly was watching photos of her to see what their vibe would be like. So I never clocked the voice. So she has a much deeper voice.
Well, you know, the Big Frida is, she's in a lot of RuPaul's music. She's in a lot of Beyonce songs.
I believe she's like affiliated with Beyonce. She did stuff on Renaissance, right?
Yeah. When you hear Big Frida's voice, you're going to go, oh, that's Big Frida.
Oh, I love
that. 100%.
Okay, so then that's an interesting choice to be, I don't know, them in Snatch Game and not be able to pull that voice off.
Yeah, the voice is so distinct, and the voice is like such a big part of Big Frida that for me, that's where most of the like comedy would have come from, would be to imitate that voice. Do you know I met Big Frida?
Oh my God, cool.
Yeah, but on accident.
Oh, so you didn't know?
I didn't know. I was, it was for Vancouver Pride. It was the night that you and I were at the closing party.
Oh, cool.
And I was walking there from my, I think like a gig was close to it, or my hotel or something. And I was like, I'm just going to walk. Yeah. So I was walking and I'm in full scoochy dress, like long hair, like looking like a cross-dresser, right? Yeah. Just walking through these streets. And I'm completely lost. I have no idea where I'm going. And I've got my big suitcase, my phone, my, like, fanny pack. My hands are full. I don't know what to do. So I see these, like, people sitting on a street corner. And they are... They're covered in rainbows. They've got, like, beautiful hair. They're stunning. They look so cool. So I was just like, this is a safe space. I can ask these people where I'm going. They look like they're here for Pride. They look very safe for me to go up to. I am going to go up to them. They make me feel good. So I go up to them. I ask them. And they were like, oh, we don't know where that is. But you could probably ask those people over there. Or let me. And they were, like, super, super helpful. Helping me with everything. And they were, like, telling me where to go. And I ended up finding my way. And as I walked away, I went, my God, I know that voice. What is that voice from? Who is that voice? And then it wasn't until I got back to my hotel that night that I saw all of these people posting videos from the Big Frida concert that same night.
Totally.
And Big Frida was literally waiting for her cab to go, or, like, her driver to go to this, like, concert right as I was walking by her. And I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe I met Big Frida and didn't even notice. I'm such an idiot. Oh my God.
You were asking her for directions in a city she's not from.
She literally looked at me and went, babe, I am not from around here. I have no idea. But she was just like, those nice people could probably help you. You could go in here, go in here. Her dancers were like, let me see your phone. Like, they were so nice. But
I love that. I bet you were probably more chill because you just didn't know.
Well, I think they saw me and they were just like, this poor little cross-dresser just needs to find out.
Our call time for that gig. Remember when Tommy told us to get there so early?
Oh, I was so mad.
Shout out to Tommy's call times.
Shout out to Tommy's call times.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Also, for those of you listening, if you are someone who books queens, if you book queens who are professional, don't give them drag call times. Give them a normal call time. Because if you give me a call time that's 3 hours before, and then when I show up and you're like, oh, I just gave you the drag call time because I figured you'd be late. I'm not going to be late. I'm a professional.
Never. Don't you understand that we have taken that time that we see and then we subtract multiple hours for makeup, multiple times for travel to the destination. Mm-hmm. Like, we see that call time and it changes your whole day as a drag queen if you're like on it. I'm the exact same way. Juice, if someone tells me to get there for drag time, like, purposely ahead.
Rage.
I could never show up to any event an hour and some late being like, I'm here. Like,
hey, my music's already in, right? Like, never. That would never.
I would feel so bad thinking people are, like, waiting around. And it's probably me being a people pleaser. But, like, I'm very punctual.
Oh, yes, same.
The anxiety of being late, not worth it.
I've had some people where I show up and they do that and they see my eyes and they go, oh, sorry, was that the wrong time to give you? And I went, yeah, I'm going to go get food.
Yeah.
Like, out of there.
I'm going to go knit a scarf.
I've got 3.5 hours.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. How late are your other girls?
You need to fire them. Oh, also, did Silky learn how to play the flute for this, or did they add that noise in?
I feel like they totally added that.
Okay, because I was just like, oh my God, is she playing the flute?
I don't know. I could be completely wrong, but a part of me feels like she does not play the flute.
She might.
It's kind of hard to make that sound. My mother played the flute, and I tried. You had to, like, purse your lips in a very certain way, even just to make a note. I find it very hard. I don't know.
Okay. So maybe not. But
if you just blow into it like a recorder, it doesn't make a sound.
So the Snatch Game ends. It was a cute one. What did you think?
I love how much fun Ice has had. And then after that, I just was a little confused with the flow because I think of the political lens that was supposed to be through.
Yeah, it was strange. I didn't love the Snatch Game, but I loved Isis.
Yeah, I thought she was good. And then this is the thing. Who would go second? I feel like Isis got a lot of airtime.
She did, but she was very good.
She was very good, but then I almost felt like I didn't see the full Snatch Game. I don't know.
I wish I got to see more of Vanity because I actually thought she was doing quite good. And I feel like she would have had, like, a lot of fun zingers, but I feel like we didn't see a lot of them. And I feel like we literally just saw tons of Raja, tons of Silky,
and
tons of Isis.
Yeah.
And then, like, who was... Oh, and then, like, a little bit of Victoria. Like, I felt like we saw that side of the room most of the Snatch Game.
Mm-hmm. So, closing thoughts. Interesting camera time.
Yeah, interesting. So far, editing, lighting, and camera work, it's all a lot. But, you know. So, we go into the next day, And woo. Brooklyn walks in. Big surprise. She is wearing the strangest workroom outfit I have ever seen her in my life. I thought, she is killing it with the looks this year, but what the fuck is this? What the fuck is this?
There is such a difference between Brooklyn Heights working with a designer making you a look from head to toe and Brooklyn Heights playing stylist.
I was like, what is this?
So it's a beautiful top. They're designer jeans. They're Mugler.
They're the ugliest jeans I've ever seen, Cynthia. I don't care if they're designer.
Exactly. And so for her to pair it, it kind of, I felt like I knew what she was going for. She was going for like Christine Quinn from like Selling Sunset. Like she wanted to be coming off like that blonde bitch. But instead it just was like a randomized Sims character.
I will never not think if you put a black band over a lace, it's a hard front. I will never not think that.
Oh, you weren't vibing with the headband.
Oh, I was like, what is that headband for? What are we doing with this headband?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, at that point, she lost me with the jeans. Like, that's my bigger complaint. I'm like, why are you wearing those jeans?
And, like, the jeans were a different black than the top, and then the top was a different black than the headband.
It felt like three separate outfits. Head, bodice, and bottom. Like, it was just like, where are all these things going?
But
and
then
it was like, please welcome Justin Trudeau.
Right? And then also with this one, she didn't have her regular filter on her face. So you could like see like her brow block and all of these things. Like, they need to fix this camera work. Because
the workroom can get a filter too. There's nothing wrong with that, y'all.
We could filter the workroom, guys. Like, let's just let it happen. Like, whatever cameraman is on this show, I need you to step it up. because we are drag queens and we need to look flawless at all times, please. I'm begging.
Mm-hmm. All times.
So she walks in and then everybody gets a big surprise and Justin Trudeau walks in. And this has made some big ripples and it's very divisive.
Yeah.
Right? There are some people who are excited and some people not.
Sorry to cut you off. I remember when it was announced that like that had such a reaction, like a divisive reaction from the audience. I personally thought it was exciting to have a political leader on the show just because it like is legitimizing it to be part of like, I don't know, just the like cultural zeitgeist. Like it's putting it on that platform like you would a political leader because there's messages like we saw at the top of this episode with Victoria talking to Stephanie. This show can like change people's opinions. And so it makes sense that a political leader would want to be involved.
Yeah. I think sometimes, too, it's just like I see both sides very, very clearly on why they would not want them and why it is important to have a political leader there. And I think both can be true and both can exist. You know, we don't have to live in this world where there's like this good versus evil thing. Mm-hmm. That we can kind of have a gray area where both can be, it can be a good thing and it can also be a bad thing because he does have like a very poor history, especially with the treatment of Indigenous people in our country. Yeah. But it is good that political leaders are seeing our community as legitimate and wanting to harvest it and come on some of the biggest platforms for us. What was I going to say? Oh my God, I lost it. The train left the station.
Kind of rounding back to like what you saw as good as him being there. Like, what was your positive?
Well, my positive is just like people like, you know, it's good to have. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. I think a lot of times too, people in Canada think like Justin Trudeau is almost like a dictator. Like they see him as almost like our president. But with the way that Canadian politics works, it's so much different. Like he's the leader of a political party of Canada, like the Liberals. And he is the leader of the Liberals. There's so much more that goes on. It's not just him making final decisions. It's him probably getting a little bit more, but there's so much more to Canadian politics and there's so many more people involved in these decisions that I feel like when it's all comes down on one person, it's just like, okay, let's think they're all trash because they are.
I thought that the other day. I was like, is he kind of the face to attack a lot of injustice? You know, it's like it all is being targeted at one particular person. It's like, I don't think structurally it's built like that. And so I want to be respectful of everyone here. It's just interesting to see it be attacked on like one person doing the show. It's like, well, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah. And both things can exist. It's good that he's on there and it's bad that he's on there because they're platforming someone who does make some very poor decisions, right? But then it's good that political leaders are legitimizing, you know, our community. Yeah. So, you know, both can be true. But what was kind of cool for me with this was that he knows Rita.
Mm-hmm.
He literally said in full French, he was just like, oh no, I know Rita. So it's just like, Mr. Trudeau, did you watch season one? Diva, did you watch?
He watched.
I just need to know. Did he watch season one? Work.
He definitely watched. He's definitely seen you.
Work, yeah. Diva.
That panic attack has been seen across the world, baby.
He said, oh, that poor juice box. hearing him say, that's no shade, I was just like, I? What did these people prompt this man to say?
I also loved how nervous Brooklyn was for, like, what the girls were going to say to him when Stephanie called Justin Trudeau daddy. She was literally like, it felt like the babysitter and the babies were misbehaving.
You could see her like, great. I knew that was going to happen. Yeah, it was kind of funny to watch Brooklyn react that way. And it was, I found it to be really sweet. Because again, coming back to what I said, you can kind of have a gray area in both things to be true. Like what Stephanie had said was people like him made it safe for her to be able to come into this country, you know? Totally. So to be able to see stuff like that is so important to her. So, you know, it's kind of nice to see the middle ground sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I loved the rapport with the queens. And I think there was a lot of reaction to him being on the show. Have people since, is there still that same uproar since the episode came out? Because I knew there was a lot with the announcement, with the trailer.
There was a lot. Yes. And you know what, too? I found like there was a lot of uproar and there was a lot of blame on Brooklyn for it.
Which makes no sense. Again, it's not like she is texting Justin Trudeau being like, you've got to come on the show.
Yeah. And I think what everybody needs to realize, and listeners, I hope that you guys take this in. Brooklyn is not the creator and producer of Canada's Drag Race. Brooklyn is the host. She is hired talent. So Brooklyn makes no decisions.
Like
Brooklyn
is not,
she's not given a whole lot to be able to do. So like she probably finds out that Justin Trudeau is coming at the same time as everybody else on cast. So these are not decisions that she can really make because it's her job, right? She's just kind of following along with what she wants to do. So I feel like a lot of the flack that she received from this was rough because like this is her bread and butter, you know? So I don't know.
I think people see RuPaul as like an executive producer role in conjunction with hosting. They then think Brooklyn's the same thing, but it's not. She's hired to do this like contract by contract. And she doesn't run behind the scenes in that same way RuPaul would.
Yeah, like I don't think Brooklyn's in the writing room deciding the thing. She doesn't even decide the cast.
Literally. So on a personal note, she's frustrated sometimes when the fans treat these decisions and target them towards her because it's like, her fingerprints aren't on it. So just be mindful.
If you guys want the producers, we'll give you their names. You can call them.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was great. It was nice to kind of see that sort of interaction with everybody. And I think the funniest part of the whole thing was Silky having not one fucking idea who this man was.
You could so tell.
Yeah. Oh, she was just like, great, who is this guy?
Yeah, very that. Very, give a very fuck. Yeah. We're on to the main stage for the next day, right? Is it elimination day?
Yeah. I think it's elimination day. So we go right into elimination day. And do you want to tell us who is there?
Oh my God. So of course there's Brooklyn. Brooklyn.
Yes.
But our guest judges for the week, we've got Priyanka. She's back in the building out of drag. I wasn't sure like if they would have, is there a reason to, like I thought maybe she would do it in drag, but I love it out of drag.
No, you can't be in drag if someone else is on drag on the panel.
Yes. And then we've got Tracy and then Serene Fox. Again, which I heard she broke a record for being the most guest judging in 2022 ever.
She did three.
Yeah.
Yeah, three episodes. I heard a rumor. Should I say it?
I would love you to.
Would you?
Yes.
I heard a rumor that ACTRA won't allow a lot of their people on Drag Race because of the contracts.
It's like a combination of that quarantining because of COVID.
Yeah.
And there's contracts that I think a lot of celebrity guest judges have trouble with then signing on to the project. I think it's hard to do.
That's what I heard. So, I mean, it's great that we get to see Serene so much because I really quite like her on the show, and she's beautiful. But I think that may be a reason why we're seeing a lot of repeats, and also why we're seeing a lot of alumni.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Could we get on semi-qualified queens? We just share a seat.
Listen, I really want to be on a first episode because I just think it's correct.
I think it's pretty correct.
I think if they were to have me as the guest judge on an episode one, it just makes sense. I am the Canadian pork chop. Like, so Priyanka's, I feel like
Priyanka's judging the Snatch Game.
So I should be on the first episode. It should be the girl who went home first gets to send another girl home first. I think it just makes sense. If you are listening, producers, after I just sent you so much hate, please.
Reconsider.
Reconsider. After all I've been doing is sitting here talking about the horrible lighting. I want that good. I want that good filter.
Please.
Please. Although I wouldn't be allowed to be in drag.
You like that?
I wouldn't be able to be in drag, though, so I don't know how I feel about that. I'd probably wear a toupee.
Oh my God, work. Do it.
Mm-hmm. Just like,
do you want to dive into the runways?
Yes, the Celestial Bodies runway. So first up, we have Silky. What did you think?
I thought it was fun. The like puppeteering of like the one hand with like smoke coming through it. Like I felt like it was like a little cheesy, but it's like it felt more theater. And then it was cool because it's like taking that theme, Celestial Bodies, and being like, here is like a mystical creature as a puppet. But yeah, it was cute.
I actually liked it. I wish the hair made more sense with the color scheme. Like, the hair was so cool, but why was there red in it?
It was, like, a very random wig.
Yeah. Yeah. It was beautiful, but I was just like, that doesn't really make sense. But overall,
What a random wig.
Yeah. It was just, like, she had the wig that matched and went, nah, I'll do this one instead. But overall, I thought, I love the puppet, though. For me, stuff like that is really exciting. What did you think of Raja's?
It was, like, very, very fun and cool. Very fun and cool. And then, oh God, help me, love. What did it look like?
I am screaming. You just read fun and cool from my notes and then had no idea what it looked like.
I thought it would come to me and I was like, I don't even remember.
It was very like, her face was very, it was painted almost like silver and dark, like blacks and grays
and
stuff.
She was giving body. She was giving body, yada, yada.
It was very body. It was, and very accentuated shoulders, very accentuated small waist, very big pads, and high shoes.
Okay, now that it's come back, which I always say is a bad sign. I'm so sorry. So sorry, Raja. I did actually like it. In the moment, I thought it was cool. I liked seeing that those dimensions on her.
Same. I really liked the outfit. I didn't love the silver, but again, I think that maybe it didn't show off well on the camera because of the camera they used. Because for me, it looked gritty. And I don't think that was her fault. I think in person it was probably smooth and very lovely, but on camera the texture looked funny. And I don't know why she wore black shoes. I didn't love the black shoes.
Yeah, couldn't she like just continued the silver?
Silver or continued that beautiful blue velvet into the shoe, because that blue velvet was incredible.
Love blue velvet.
Oh, I love a velvet. Oh my God. I feel like
for loving velvet, I haven't seen you in much velvet.
It doesn't fit anymore. I had a lot of really beautiful velvet outfits, but my shoulders and arms got too big, so they don't fit because I'm not a good. They weren't four-way stretch, so I sold them.
Totally, that makes sense.
Yeah, they were some of the most beautiful things I owned, but they are gone, unfortunately. What did you think of Anita? She was wearing a kind of like starry, there was a moon in her hair.
Yes,
she had that very like Australian wig.
I thought she looked really pretty. I said she looked like a bedtime story. She looked like,
yes,
it was like creative. I think it would work so well in like a kid's show with that foam wig and the way it was fully sparkling. Like, I thought there were parts of this that were really, really charming.
Yeah, I thought it was charming. The construction of the gown, I thought, was kind of, like, design challenge-y.
Hodgepodge.
It was a little hodgepodge, like, kind of thrown together. I was kind of like, I don't love the construction of it, but I loved her makeup. I loved the moon. I loved the really cool hair. I love those, like, Priscilla wigs.
It's very Australian.
Very Australian.
I feel like that's their vibe. They, like, own the foam wigs. And I think
I would love
totally
one, wouldn't you?
Oh my God, we should, okay.
We should get foam wigs.
Should we do a foam wig photo shoot, Juice?
Where it's just sparkly big foam wigs that we'll never wear ever again? Should we get it?
I'm not against.
You know what? Actually, I was talking to my husband and some friends last night, and I was telling them about this new act that I'm developing. And I was just like, It's so funny that I chose a career where all I do is travel in suitcases, but these acts that I'm building are massive and very hard to travel. So what am I doing?
Oh my God, I know. I know, it's counterintuitive. But you want to share it with the world.
I know, but then like, why is it so big?
Oh, now I want to know.
I'll tell you about it after we wrap. It's a surprise, but I think it's going to be for a show that you and I are going to be doing together. So you'll be able to see it.
Oh my God, exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, who's next on the runway? Who's next on the runway? We've got Rita.
Next on the runway, we have, yes, Rita. What did we think? It was very, like, she looked like a sun.
It was really cool. It's that designer that made something for Jan Sport. I think it was their promo a couple seasons ago. It's this very sculptural, metallic material, and it worked really well with the theme. And you can make this giant celestial piece. Like, I thought it was really cool. Didn't love the hair, though.
What was the hair?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if it was just like the shaping of it. It was like orange with like a deep black root, and I'm turning to my side. It did these like loops, like these kind of like tidal waves of sorts. Like it was like scooped hair, then it sculpted back.
Oh,
it was
cool
hair.
Yeah, I didn't really notice it just because I think I was so concentrated on like, I never really used to see Rita in a lot of these silhouettes. So it was fun to see her in that.
Yeah. Switching it up.
Yeah. And then we're at Stephanie. Oh my God.
Really?
Love.
She loved it. I feel like she loves the bird reference.
It felt like this was very reminiscent to her one that she got eliminated on. Again. Like it's
Bad Omen.
Bad Omen. Yeah. Is it? Did she get eliminated with that?
It must have been. No, I think, no, you're thinking of her reunion look, because she just came out and wore like, or no, for the finale, she wore.
She wore wings.
Wings. And that was a piece that she really liked that wasn't actually slotted for that particular week, but she'd gone home for the one runway. So she wore it in the finale. But then it's reminding me a little bit of this dress, but then this dress is like upgraded. So it's cool to see the elevation. But yeah, she just loves that. That kind of the wingspan, it feels very almost like Greek goddess. It's cool.
It is cool. What did you think of Vanity? I really liked Vanity. Hers was really cute. I liked that it was very simple, but the mohawk was really cool. It almost felt to me like, I know this is gonna sound bad, but it was giving me very much like she looked like Ornatia.
Okay.
Like it's if Ornatia like done crystallized and turned into like a rock and drag queen. Like that's what it was kind of giving me because of the colors and the hood and the spikes.
I was just because of that bluey green color.
Yeah, the bluey green. I was just like, oh my God, is this Ornatia? If Ornatia just decided to just hit the runway?
She's back.
That's what I was kind of getting. Ooh, but what about Victoria? Victoria Scone. What did you think? Do you remember this?
The material that, like, those rings were, the way they were draping, and when she would spin and they would fall.
So cool.
I thought this was so cool. It reminded me of the medal that Jombers just wore in the finale episode. I feel like there's someone in the UK working with this really cool gold fabric, and I want to find out who it is. Because it's reminding me of that same kind of Schiaparelli-esque thing, but then just so sculptural and cool. I thought it was incredible.
It was incredible. I want to know how she did it, like how she was able to make that thing so it could spin. It was great. Now, our last girl, Isis, walks out. And I love when Isis pulls one of these. You know, when she's like, I'm not going to look real pussy. I'm going to serve you such a cool look that you were not expecting. It's almost very Dragula, like fun, like really artistic. I was so excited for Isis's.
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
Oh, so cool. She looked like she was in a movie. Like a dark, mysterious character. It doesn't always have to lean on like Hollywood glam. She'll go sci-fi. She'll go a little darker. Suki made this look, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, love that.
Suki doll. Suki doll.
Wait, is that us spreading misinformation or?
No. This time it was truly, truly her. Because when I was on Instagram for a millisecond this morning, I saw one of her sketches that I recognized and Isis tagged it. And she did design this.
Okay. I was going to say, are we willfully spreading misinformation?
No. No.
So after all of those runways and we get to our snatch game, we find out that our top two is Raja and Isis, and our bottom two are Stephanie and Anita. Do you agree?
You know what? They definitely weren't the strongest of the week. So in a way, I wasn't surprised. And I just, I felt like I wasn't laughing when I saw their performances. So yeah, I kind of agree.
Yeah, I agree. Stephanie wasn't very good, and Anita was big bad. Big bad. I don't even know who else I would have put in the top with Isis, because Isis was so good, and I feel like everyone else was really middle of the pack. Mm-hmm. That I guess because Raja was so dedicated to her character, that, you know, it makes sense for her to be in the top.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wrote again, lighting so bad.
Juicy notes are just lighting.
I was like, oh my God.
That's so funny.
So do you want to go in to talk about how they begged for their lives? Because Anita was really, really, really upset about it. Or do you just want to go right to the lip
sync? Oh, let's dive into those lip syncs.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Let's do go it. Right
into it. Because I feel like talking is sort of just like, yeah, we get it. You want to stay.
Totally. You know? But we have one of the best lip sync songs on a Canadian version of the show in a while. Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne. So good.
I love it. I was so excited. And then the fact that they were both kind of in like matching, what's it called?
Like rock looks.
Yeah, rock looks and mullets. Mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily love the way they both did the lip sync, but I think it is a harder song to lip sync to. So I liked it. It wasn't my favorite, but I thought they were great. Although Isis did that thing I hate. She did the jump onto her knees. And I was like, girl, enough with the knees.
Stop breaking them knees.
Stop breaking them knees. You are only getting older. Yeah. But I thought they were great. Do you feel like it was, cause, Miss Isis
can't,
win.
You can't put filler in those knees.
Can't put, well, I mean, you might be able to,
could you imagine knee filler? So you can slam on your knees more.
What did you think? Do you feel like it was a deserved win between Raja and Isis with Isis winning?
I felt like Isis gave it. I feel like she gave us a little more like dynamics to her performance. And so I was like, yeah, well, she won.
Yeah, me too. And she decides to choose Stephanie to go home. Now, do you feel like that was the right choice? She said she wants to do it by track record. She was just like, it's track record, which I think was a bit of a cop-out. Mm-hmm. Because just because she was in the bottom twice, I feel like while she wasn't very good in the snatch game, Anita was very bad in the snatch game. So I feel like I would have chosen Anita to go home. Because Stephanie's look was better, and she wasn't as bad when Anita's look was... I feel like kind of hodgepodgey, and she was very bad in the snatch game. I would have chosen Anita.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't know why she chose Stephanie. Like, she knows her. She knows how long she's been on the show in her original season. It felt like an interesting choice to me. I don't know. It felt like friendship was almost like put to the side or ignored, or like, it was just, I don't know why she picked.
It was a weird choice.
Picked Steph.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was weird. Because if we're doing that same kind of logic, how far did Anita go again on her original season?
Middle of the pack. I think she was like halfway through the season.
So we can't keep using this as the like metric, but at the same time, Isis for sure knows Stephanie. I don't know. It just was interesting.
Yeah. And Isis was episode 3 on your season? Not Isis. Stephanie was episode 3 on your season?
Yes.
So now she's episode 2. So she didn't even get to go as far as she originally went.
Right.
So, and an Asian girl going home on Snatch Game, it is just the curse.
It's the way it goes.
It's the curse, bitch. They said, Asian girl, Snatch Game, get out. You know? I did like her, I have no exit line, and leaving.
It was good. It was cute.
I liked that. So that was the episode. What did you think?
Yeah. Very fun overall. Highlights in the snatch game, but it wasn't necessarily like my favorite version of it ever, because of I think the summit thing, I think that threw the girls, but I digress.
I like how this one was such like I felt like this is a very divisive episode. There was a lot of divisive things happening.
Yeah,
there
I was love the discord the, about like the fishy term, and then having Trudeau here, like it was an interesting episode.
Yeah, I feel like it was good to have all that, but yeah. All right, so we're going to get to our audience questions. This one is coming from Hero Zake Sigal Prince, and he says, my question for J and S is, how the fuck does someone date and find quality, like-minded guy in Vancouver, more of a Cynthia base, as she's in YVR? I'm clean living and always have been straight-edged. I live alone and don't see cohabitation in the future. I'm non-seen but love the culture. I'm an introvert but love quality time, communication, and physical touch and romance. I'm self-motivated and have my shit together, including my future goals and so forth. Any insight beyond the typical dating apps and other than the occasional event or community gathering that could connect people like me together? I'm also autistic and have nonverbal learning disorders and highly anxious. Help a hero out. Oh my God.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Thank you for writing in. Mm-hmm. And I totally feel for you. Like, sometimes the world's scary out there. It's nice to have a partner. Juice and I are both in long-term relationships. And so we totally understand the advantages of like having a partner. Vancouver is notoriously like kind of closed off. Sometimes blame that like pesky weather where it's very rainy for a portion of the year, where you kind of stay indoors and close knit. So sometimes it's hard to like build community. So I really empathize. In one way, like I met my partner through work. Like I was throwing myself into my passions, my interests, and same with my partner, Vincent. And so I think we had aligned skills and like outlook on life, and we kind of complemented each other, and from there grew a relationship. So I guess my advice would be, you know, maybe perhaps continue to look into the worlds you already like explore with your community. And if there's anyone there in that, I will say there's a lot of self-awareness. And sometimes when someone knows themselves so specifically, I want to question if that's like a huge boundary or like a wall we're putting up to block people from coming in. I also want to be mindful of you being autistic and me not understanding perhaps some of the nuances of living a life that diagnosis. Yeah. So I have to be careful with my advice here, but I'm also blending it with general advice for the SQ cuties. What say you, Juice?
I would say, okay, so I'm just breaking down what we've said here. So clean living, always been straight edge. Love that. Same. You don't see cohabitation in the future. So you want a partner that you don't live with. Non-seen but love the culture, totally valid. I love the gay scene, but I don't love to go out all the time. Introvert but love quality time. You can totally be an introvert and love quality time. You can just be quiet together, and I find that's the most comfortable thing in the world, is when you can have someone you can just be quiet with. Communication, physical touch, and romance, and self-motivated, and have my shit together, including future goals and so forth. So I really think that, yeah, I'm just gonna kind of bounce off what Cynthia said, like just sort of like, I would say let it grow organically, because for me, I have not dated in over 18 years. I've been with my husband for 18 years, so I'm not the best person to talk about with dating. But for my friends who have found partners who have really fallen in love, they just sort of let it happen organically. They were never seeking it out. They weren't saying like, I want a boyfriend, I want a partner. They were just sort of happy with themselves. And when that happened, they were able to grow with another person. You know, that other person just kind of fell into their lap and things sort of happened naturally from there. So I think sort of like what I would say is maybe stop looking and just allow the universe to deliver you what you deserve, you know?
And good on you for the hustle. Like if you're working hard, if you've got your shit together, that's a wonderful trajectory to become like an eligible bachelor.
Yes, like, there's people are going to love that.
Keep killing it. And ultimately like, that's why I brought up my experience of like finding my partner through work. Like on one level, like work is for work. You don't necessarily want to become like turn your colleagues into a small Tinder pool, but it's like,
yeah,
at some point, you know, you just want to keep like, make sure you are a complete person as a solo human on this planet. Cause that's the minute you attract another person. It's like to have the energy where it's like, I'm incomplete without a partner.
Yeah.
Like sometimes that's when it doesn't work for somebody. You got to make sure you love yourself, and then it comes from there. I know that's kind of preachy, but that's my advice.
Yes. And that's not for us saying that you don't love yourself and that you're not, you know, that you're like only dedicated to this. This is again just us giving sort of general like knowledge out to everybody and hoping that maybe there's something in what we're saying that you can sort of hold on to. We're not trying to directly place this on one direct person.
Yeah, no, when we're talking about this, it's like kind of general for the audience as well as the writer in.
Yeah, so hopefully you can find some things in our little conversation that help you, hero. But yeah, so that was really fun. So I guess,
thank you for writing in. We appreciate that. Sorry, I wanted to just say thank you for writing in. We appreciate it. And then we know it's tough out there. It's hard looking for love.
Right? It's hard. That's I feel so weird sometimes with dating stuff because I'm like, I haven't dated in 18 years. I'm not too sure.
Right? It really is difficult out there. And I think with COVID, it's become even more secular. Like people, it's hard to meet people. So I empathize a lot.
But speaking of meeting people, if you want to meet us, follow us on Instagram at semiqualifiedqueenspod, on Twitter at sqqpod with the hashtag semiqualifiedquestions, or you can email us at semiqualifiedqueenspod@gmail.com.
This week we did a written in question, but we always want to hear your beautiful voice as well. And if you want to record a little message for the pod, record it at www.speakpipe.com/sqqpod.
Thank you guys so much. And we will be back next week with only one episode.
Bonus episodes. I'm like, I'm tired.
Yeah, we're like, oh my God, we're so sleepy. But we'll be back with just one episode next week. And we'll still be covering Canada versus the world. Thank you guys so much. And we'll see you next week.